Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
All right, here we go. We're going to get real. How many of you know someone who can post Bible verses online, but they can be so mean that they ruin your whole day? Yeah? You seen those people? Right? You know, religion actually creates that. Religion makes people that can be just so like smarmy. Is that a word that makes sense to you? It's a word in America, okay? And it just means you're like super sweet, melt in your mouth kind of sugar, but also full of hate and rage at the same time. Religion does that to people. Last week, we said that the church has a reputation problem. It's not a Jesus problem, but it is a representation problem, us representing Jesus. Because, you know, sometimes the church doesn't really represent well to Jesus. People don't normally, they're not walking away from Jesus. In fact, if you talk about Jesus and you tell people who Jesus is and what he's done and everything, that's pretty exciting stuff. What they're walking away from is this thing that we have created that we represent that is full of anger a lot of times and full of hate and rage and those kinds of things. And it comes down to being a graceless religion, which is the opposite of Jesus. That's what people walk away from. That's what this series is all about. So if you've missed last week's message or you miss any of the other messages, go to YouTube, go to our channels, go to all those places and share it with a religious friend, all right? Or you can watch it over and over yourself until you get real instead of religious. So real faith is not polished. It's actually costly. It's rugged, it's gritty, it's honest, and it's a lot more rare than you think. Because whether you are new to faith or you are still checking it out or you've been in church all your life, whether you are Aussie born or whether you came from outside Australia, the question that we all need to wrestle with today is this: will I be real or religious when it comes down to it? Am I real or just religious? Maybe the difference between the two isn't so obvious all the time, because religion can look and feel okay sometimes. I want to give you something that we can all relate to, most of us can relate to, that will help this become a little more clear. Most of us have done a little bit of international travel, right? And you survive those multi-day flights and that stuff that they feed you that they call food, right? But it defies logic. There's no way that's actually food. It's a good diet program, maybe. And then you filled out those immigration cards that read like the software agreement, you know, where you have to read 48 pages and say, I agree. And you got no idea what you're really filling out. The first time I came to Australia, I was filling out this declaration card, and you won't be able to see this, but it says here, do you have any criminal convictions? When I got to that question, I said, I didn't know it was still a requirement. Yeah, for those of you that aren't groaning and chuckling, Australia was founded as a penal colony. Different countries have different expectations. And whether I like it or not, or whether I agree with it or not, or you agree with it or not, when you go into that country, it's not up for debate whether you do what they say to do. So you get off the plane, and now you're there at the border, and the immigration officer is looking at your passport. No smile. No small talk, no, hey, how was your flight or anything like that. And you've been on the plane for like 40 hours, you know, on and off planes and everything. And for just a moment, just a few seconds there, that feels like an hour or hours and hours and hours, you wonder, am I actually going to get in? You can see the destination on the other side of those gates. And then he finally hands it back to you and says, welcome. Then you get a baggage claim, and somehow miraculously over that 40 hours, your bags actually made it sometimes. You get your bags, and then you go to this other place. You thought immigration was the hard part. And then you end up going to customs, and the custom agent asks you what? Do you have anything to declare? And then you start freaking out, and you're sweating, and you're thinking, oh, no, is that packet of M&Ms in my carry-on some kind of contraband? Are they going to not let me in because of that? There's something about that whole experience where the destination is so close and there's so many obstacles that could trip you up. And actually, not everyone gets waved through in the end. Travel reminds us how different rules can affect each of us, and how in some countries that we go into, we actually may not even get in if we don't abide by their rules. What's normal for us might be very foreign in that place. But what if there's one place, there's a spiritual kingdom that welcomes people from every nation? There's no country in the world that does that, by the way. You have to go through visa processes and stuff, and a lot of times get rejected. But what if there's one place, a spiritual kingdom that is open to everyone? What if entry wasn't based on your birthplace or your background, but it was all about surrender? Let's talk about that this morning. With the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been making it clear that the religion practiced by his listeners for hundreds of years was insufficient. He says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. The highway to hell is broad. That means it's popular, it's easy, it's unchallenged. The highway, or the wide way, is easy, but guess what? Easy does not mean that it is fulfilling. It's easy, but it's empty. The wide road has room for our pride. It has room for our sin. It has room for all of our baggage. And when we think about this broad road, we think of it as a road that is littered with all sorts of wickedness and evil. And when I was growing up, they would have said, it's littered with sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right? AC/DC even wrote a song about it, The Highway to Hell. But it's bigger than that. And I would suggest to you that it's a lot more dangerous than the obvious things that we believe that broad road is littered with. It's littered with a lack of repentance and religion. The Pharisees and the religious elite of Jesus' day were on this road. They were committed to their religion with all of their outward righteousness. AC/DC got it half right. There is a highway to hell, and it is packed. It's real, and it's paved with self-confidence and spiritual apathy. I told you we were going to get real, real fast, didn't I? Broad is the road. It's smooth, and it's popular, and it feels right until it doesn't. It's where the crowd is, but it's not where Christ is. You know, the crowd doesn't always know where they are going. The wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth said this in the book of Proverbs in our Old Testament. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. It seems right, but the end is death. See, Jesus is not trying to scare us with these words. He's actually trying to save us. The wide road says, do whatever works for you. The narrow road says, die to yourself and follow me, in Jesus' words. Friends, we need to be really careful not to mistake crowd following for Christ following. And I'm not talking about the crowd that's on the highway to hell and it's obvious. I'm talking about maybe the church crowd, the religious crowd. There was a guy in the Old Testament called Abraham. He had a nephew. His name was Lot. And both of them had become very wealthy. Their families had increased. Their herds had increased. They had so much cattle and stuff and everything that the land they were living in couldn't hold them both. So one day, Abraham said to Lot, hey, I want you to choose where you want to go, and then I'll take the opposite direction. So Lot looked down into the Jordan Valley, and it was lush, it was green, it was amazing, it was wonderful on the surface. And he says, I'll take the broad road. So Abraham said, that's fine. I'll take this road that's a little bit more rugged, a lot more difficult, and not quite as enticing, but it's what God's left for me, so I'm going to trust that the way God sends me is going to be better than what you've just chosen, Lot. And we learn from these guys that the wide way is easy, but easy doesn't equal eternal. That's what Jesus is really on about here. And when we look at Abraham and Lot and the choices that they made, we're going to see where that ends for each of them here in just a few minutes. But back to our verses where Jesus said the gateway, or you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. He says the gateway to life, that narrow gate, is very narrow and the road is difficult. Only a few ever find it. See, this is opposite to the highway to hell, the broad road. He says, few find it, because this path demands surrender. You don't fit through that gate carrying your ego and all of your baggage, your self-sufficiency, your own righteousness. You won't fit through that gate with those things, Jesus says. The narrow way takes courage and commitment. It's the opposite of the wide road. See, Jesus never marketed faith as easy. And I don't know what you grew up hearing and when people tried to convince you to follow Jesus and they told you your life's going to be so amazing and great and wonderful and it's all going to be easy from there. Anybody been saved for more than 10 minutes following Jesus? Did your life just get so easy? No, Jesus never said that. But he said, you're going to walk that narrow road, but you won't do it alone. Life is not going to just magically get better, but you're not going to be alone doing life. He says, there's few that find it, not because it's hidden, but because it's humbling, because it requires us to give up. It's not a call to comfort. It's a call to conversion. It's a call to change. It's a call to let go of ourselves and everything that we have thought was important. It can be lonely sometimes, but it leads to life. That's what Jesus is teaching here. Do you know, following Jesus is actually a minority movement. I love people that say they want to be unique, right? So that to be unique, then they're going to start looking like all the other people that want to be unique and extreme, right? Jesus says, if you want to be unique, this is a minority movement, follow me. And you will be very unique. Matthew chapter 8 says this. It says, then one of the teachers of religious law said to him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. Following Jesus is not easy. Committing to following Jesus means sacrifice. And it's easy to say I will follow, but it's much, much more difficult to follow through. Matthew chapter 19, verse 24 says this. It says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. You know what I love about this? He says, it's easier. That means it's not impossible, but it's difficult. It's hard. The narrow does not mean easy, but it doesn't mean impossible. The narrow road can feel lonely, but you're not alone. Back to Abraham and Lot. Lot's choice had landed him there in a place near Sodom. It was a very wicked place, and God was going to destroy it. And Abraham is pleading with God to preserve his family there. And chapter 19 of the book of Genesis tells us that two angels came to the entrance of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot was hanging out there. And the angels told Lot, hurry up and move along. Take your family. Get out of here before the city gets destroyed. Sometimes what looks like an opportunity is actually a trap. Lot had gravitated towards Sodom. He had settled in. He had gotten very comfortable. And when the angel said, leave, Lot actually listened. God was being merciful. But as Lot left and his wife following behind him, turned around and looked back. And if you're a church person, you've heard this before. It says that she turned into a pillar of salt. When we choose the broad road, it not only leads us somewhere, but it actually shapes us. Lot had become like the people of Sodom. And the devastation that we see there is it didn't just affect him. It actually affected those around him. And it ended in destruction. There is another way, though. Jesus says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The narrow gate. There's only one. It's the only way to enter. The narrow way is narrow, but it's open to everyone. It's not about being sincere. It's about being surrendered. That's what Jesus is saying here. If you're going to go through the narrow gate, it requires surrender. The message is not from Jesus. It's not choose your own adventure. It's follow me. Religion promises comfort. Jesus calls for commitment. At Catalyst, we're surrounded by people from over 50 different nations. Different languages, customs, dress, and food. Ready for the food? It's coming, I promise. I'm almost done. And today we choose to celebrate that. But every day it tells a story. It tells a story that God has always been on about gathering people from different places. He told Abraham, the guy we were talking about, where him and Lot went different ways, well, he had promised Abraham that all the nations of the world were going to be blessed because of him. That was Abraham's ending. We are here because Abraham followed God. That promise of blessing all the nations was fulfilled in Jesus, who said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That sounds really, really exclusive, doesn't it? Because it is. It's very exclusive. There is only one way. But it is also radically inclusive. In that anyone is welcome there. Anyone can come that way. See, what's so offensive about Jesus' claim is not that it's exclusive, but that it is inclusive in an exclusive way. What do I mean by that? Well, most people are okay with spiritual pathways. Most people will be fine with saying something like all roads lead to God, or everyone works out their own way, their own faith, their own truth. Jesus is inclusive and exclusive. The same one that says, I am the only way also says, come to me, all of you. I'm the only way, but come to me, all of you. Exclusive, but radically inclusive. His invitation is open to the rich and the poor, the Jew and the Gentile, the Aussie, the African, the Filipino, the Samoan, the Arab, the Latino. Everyone. Every tribe, tongue, and nature, a nation, every culture, every background, every accent, every story. You don't have to be born in the right place. You don't have to speak the right language. All you need is Jesus. That's the bottom line. That's what makes Christianity so unique. It's a narrow road, but the gate is open to all. And Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 gives us the end game. It says this, a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language standing in front of the throne. That is the vision. That is the way things end up. There's one way open to everyone. Here's the catch. The narrow way isn't about being religious. It's about following Jesus. So the question you have to answer today that we all have to wrestle with is this. Which way will you choose? Broad road that leads to destruction, the highway to hell, or the narrow way? Ask yourself, am I choosing what's easy, or am I choosing what's eternal? Am I following the crowd, or am I following Christ? Here's a real hard one. Has my faith cost me anything? Because Jesus says it will. It will cost you. Or am I just pretty comfortable? The broad road, so appealing. It's smooth. It's popular. It's padded with approval even from people. But it ends in ruin. The narrow way, it's tough. Can be lonely, but it ends in life. The good news is you are not stuck on the broad road. If you came in today and you're on that broad road, you're not stuck there. You don't have to keep pretending. Maybe you're a church person. You've been in church all your life and you are very religious, but you know down deep it's not real. You can stop pretending today. You can stop performing. So stop pushing through the pain alone because Jesus is still the way. He said, I am the way, and he's still the way today. And he still welcomes all who will follow him. If you would like to follow Jesus today, you can start right here. But you need to understand, following Jesus is not about getting religion right. It's not about conforming to a list of do's and don'ts. It's not about being perfect. It's about recognizing you're not perfect. Kind of like back at customs where they said, do you have anything to declare? I say, yeah, I declare I'm a mess. That's what it takes. And believing that Jesus paid the price for your mess, paid the price for your sin, and that he rose again, and accepting his free gift of eternal life, surrendering to him. It's that simple. I'm going to invite everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you're here today and you would say, you know, I came in today, I'm not religious or real. This is the first I've heard of all this. But, you know, I think I'd like to take that narrow road. I'd like to follow Jesus. Or maybe you came in today and you are very religious and you have been for a very long time, but you'd say, I know I'm not real. I want to invite you today to change that. Very simple prayer, but it's a prayer of surrender. It's simply this. Jesus, I give you my life. It's that simple. If that's you today, if you've never given your life to Jesus before, I want to invite you to pray that short little prayer right now. Jesus, I give you my life. There's no tricks here. That's all there is to it. Jesus, I give you my life. I want to ask you while eyes are still bowed or heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. If you said that prayer today, if you gave your life to Jesus today, I want to pray for you. So I'm going to ask you to raise your hand just so I'll know so I can pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Any others? You said that prayer today. Jesus, I give you my life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. going to pray for you right now. Father, thank you for those that raised their hands. Thank you for those that didn't. And maybe they did say the prayer. Maybe they needed to. I pray for them too right now that you would stir their hearts. And Lord, for those that did raise their hands and said, I'm giving my life to Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would guide them, that they would experience the freedom they can have in you. They can experience walking the journey of that narrow road together with you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer today and you raised your hand, even if you didn't raise your hand, there's a response card on the seat in front of you, or in the back of the seat in front of you. We would ask you to let us know if you said that prayer. There's also a QR code on the back of the chair there. Take your phone. You can let us know that way as well, because we would love to follow up with you and just celebrate with you what you did. But before I finish, I want to talk about one more thing. If you're already a follower of Jesus, most of us are. That's why we come to church and we worship. But I've got an invitation for you today. It's this simple. Don't just believe the gospel. Embody it. Live it out. See, one of the most beautiful things about Catalyst is we are many people with different stories, different cultures, different journeys. And you know, in a place like this where all those cultures come together, the world actually that's not here looks in and they watch what we're doing. They see how we behave, how we treat each other to see if this is all real. Because it's not just what we say about Jesus, it's about how we live. Religious people can fake it. Real faith, real followers, forgive quickly, love deeply, serve humbly, and welcome freely. Real followers, real faith moves towards things that are different, people that are different, not away from. So let's not just talk about grace, let's actually extend it. Let's be people who are showing grace. Let's not just gather in a diverse crowd, but let us walk in unity with each other. Let us represent Jesus across cultures, across generations, across our preferences. And let's be a community that doesn't just know the gospel, but makes people want to know more about Jesus. That's what real faith looks like. So let's be real. Let's be united. And let's be this. Let's be many people. One voice in Jesus' name. You may not have noticed, we've got that written on the wall out in the foyer, because that's our heartbeat. To be many people, one voice in Jesus' name. Father, thank you so much for your church. Thank you for your people here. Thank you for the diversity that we get to experience and enjoy together. And now, Lord, I pray that you would help us be united amidst our diversity as people who have come together walking that narrow road to follow Jesus. And Lord, help that go beyond our diversity to unite us. Help us, Lord, to celebrate our differences, because we're all on that road together. And Lord, for those that have decided today to give you their life, I pray for them once again that you would help them to take the step of letting us know, and that, Lord, we would be able to come alongside them and enjoy the journey with them. In Jesus' name, amen.